the autumn sky. Stay with us.
Stardate is presented every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 on WUSB Stony Brook. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say happy birthday to our Sunday morning newscaster, Priscilla Varant.
Stardate October 24th. If you look toward the south this month, you'll see what looks like an empty sky. The southern sky in autumn has stars, but they tend to be faint, and so city lights wash them out. True darkness and a star chart reveal that many constellations in this region have something in common. The southern autumn sky represents an ocean, and many of the constellations are named for beings which live underwater. In the south, you'll find Capricornus, the sea goat, one of the 12 zodiacal constellations. The sea goat is supposed to have the head of a goat and the tail of a fish. You'll also see a regular fish in the south this month, Pisces austrinus, the southern fish. It's not to be confused with the other constellation Pisces, the zodiacal constellation. It so happens that the other Pisces is located in the same celestial ocean, in pretty much the same section of the sky. Both fish constellations are very faint. Moving on from the little fish, we come to a big fish, the constellation Cetus, the whale. The whale is supposed to be a monster and figures in a legend about a princess who was almost devoured. But in a dark enough sky, this constellation can be seen to have a funny, lopsided head that makes it look downright friendly. So that's a sea goat, some fish, and a whale, all located south this month in the ocean in the autumn sky. Stardate is written by Deborah Bird, and we produce it for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. In Austin, zip 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Thank you. It's your show in the back row.
Oh.
To the late night double feature picture
To many, this would be considered a late night double feature horror.
Yeah.
A horror show. Coming your way Friday night.
How was that one?
That was a good one, Mike. That was a very good one.
I don't think I'll be able to.
So we didn't have the tape machines rolling for that. Could have used that.
Saved it for prosperity.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, Halloween is a week from now. You realize that?
Yeah.
Today is
Saturday, the
24th.
Yeah, 7 plus 24 is 31.
That's true. 24th of October, 1981.
Yeah.
Halloween next week. Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Well, I'm not going to be around. Yeah, I will be around, in fact.
You'll be around some sort of sense.
Yeah, I think so.
You always are. And what we'd like to open it up to the people out there, Long Island residents in particular, but anyone else who's listening is also invited. And this is something that we can all work on together to make our Halloween a lot more exciting. We'd like you to...
This is the point. What you do is you call us up and you tell us the scariest place on Long Island. Scariest place on Long Island. And we'll write them all down. And in a little while, we'll actually say what our listeners think are the scariest places on Long Island. And don't say Adventureland's crazy romantic tunnel or something like that.
No, think hard.
If you think it's truly scary, well, you can say that. But wait a minute. Before we give the phone number...
Bump, bump.
Let's just mention who we are.
Who are we? You're Mike Uhas.
You're Eric Corley, but I always like to say my name is Mike Uhas, and you're...
Eric Corley. Oh, I see what you wanted to do. All right. Such an egomaniac. All right. Now, think hard out there.
Now I'm over here.
The scariest, the absolute scariest place you can think of. It could be a haunted house, or it could be just a big field, or the middle of a forest somewhere, or... you know, a lake. There aren't many lakes on Long Island.
Yes, we do.
A couple. I know, a couple, but not many. Not many.
Yeah.
There are a lot of scary places around here. I'm sure there are quite a few scary places in Connecticut, too, and all the other places that pick us up on occasion. So think hard, and we'll talk about them later on. 246-7901 is our telephone number. Area code 516 if you're not in the area. And we have a lot of interesting things coming your way tonight.
A whole bunch of surprises. The tripods.
Brand new episode of the tripods. Yeah. Well, we always have brand new episodes. We never have old ones.
Yeah. Well, why not?
We are going to start repeating them. If you listen, Don Topeka, I think, will have a special announcement sometime in the future.
Me. Yeah.
Sometime in the future.
Sometime, 3 or 4 months from now.
Could be. So we'll be talking to some people in other places of the world a little later on. We don't know where yet, but we'll find a place.
Could be.
How's it sound to you, Mike?
Sure.
10 minutes after 12 o'clock, and I found this interesting record in here. It's one of those old American anthology type things.
Those records we have back then? From the 1830s, when Norm Preston was born.
Oh, you better watch.
Sorry about that, Norm.
This is called Inventions and Topics and Popular Song, 1910 to 1929.
Oh, that's after, much after his time.
True. And it's called the actual title of the album.
Is it a scary song?
No, not at all. The actual title of the album is called Come Josephine and My Flying Machine.
Ooh.
Hey, the song we're going to hear was... written by Kerry Morgan and Arthur M. Swanstrom.
Not the Arthur M. Swanstrom.
No, a different one.
Oh, okay.
We're going to hear a song called The Argentines, The Portuguese, and The Greeks.
Sounds good. 246-7901
is our telephone number.
the Dutch, the Frenchman and the Jew. Then came the Swede and the Irishman, who helped the country grow. Still they keep a coming, and now everywhere you go, there's the Argentines and the Portuguese, the Armenians and the Greeks. One sells you papers, one shines your shoes, another shaves the whiskers off your cheeks. When you ride again in a subway train, notice who have all the seats. And you find they are held by the Argentines and the Portuguese and the Greeks. There's the Ritz Hotel and the Commodore and the Vanderbilt and the rest. All of them are classy, up-to-date hotels. They boast accommodations of the best. When you ask the clerk for a room and bath, he looks at you sarcastically and sees why we're all filled up with the Argentines and the Portuguese and the Greeks. There's the Oldsmobile and the Humpmobile and the Cadillac and the Ford. They are the motors you and I can own, the kind most anybody can afford. But the Cunningham and the Mercedes and the Rolls-Royce Racing 3, they all belong to the Argentines and the Portuguese and the Greeks. There are pretty girls, there are pretty girls, there is every kind of a girl. Some you like a little, some a little more, but none of them will set your heart awhirl. When you really feel you've met your ideal, a girl who is smart and sweet, you will find she belongs to an Argentine, or a Portuguese, or a Greek. There's the Argentine and the Portuguese, the Armenian and the Greek. They don't know the language, they don't know the law, but they vote in the country of the free. And the funny thing, when we start to sing, my country is a sea. None of us know the words, but the Argentine and the Portuguese and the Greek.
A message from the Mobile Information Center. America is a great place. We all know that. But one thing that many of us might not be aware of is the fact that we're being overrun by hippies and communists who say crazy things like they don't trust big oil companies. Here's our correspondent in the parking lot with more details.
Well, it seems that while the vast majority of Americans still believe everything we say, there are a few troublemakers out there who are trying to undermine the foundations of democracy. Fortunately, there's a lot more money on our side, so we can make up fake newscasts and pretend we're all reporters, and in that way, convince everyone that we're actually telling the truth.
The battle against free thinking is being won, and the Mobile Oil Corporation is leading the way. This has been a message from the Mobile Information Center.
Can't the angels be hear me pray when the Sandman is nigh. And to Slumberland I must go. I know she hears me sigh over my radio. And the reason I'm crying and sighing, I'm all alone. Mr. Radio Man, tell my mama to come back home. Mr. Radio Man, tell my mama to come back home. Won't you do what you can? Oh, I'm so lonely. I've been listening in every day since she went away. But not a word from heaven have I heard. Has the angels hear me pray when the Sandman is nigh? And to Slumberland I must go. I know she must hear me sigh over my radio. Oh, and the reason I'm sighing, and I'm crying, I'm all alone. Mr. Radio Man, please tell my mama to come back home.
Mr. Radio Man, tell my mammy to come back home. Written by Ira Shuster, Johnny White, and Cliff Friend. And performed by Al Jolson, Isham Jones, and his orchestra. We started with the Argentines, the Portuguese, and the Greeks.
And the Armenians.
No, were they in there?
Yes, they were.
Oh, I didn't hear them.
Uh-huh.
Well, it was performed by Nora Bayes. And, of course, written by Kerry Morgan and Arthur M. Swanstrom.
I told you.
Yeah. That's 19 minutes after 12, the voice of Long Island.
That's 41 minutes before 1.
Is it? That's right. You're right about that. 7 degrees Celsius outside, 45 on the Fahrenheit scale.
It's chilly. Last night it was like 17 degrees Celsius.
Was it? Was that warm outside?
Yes, it was. 63 Fahrenheit.
Hmm.
Yep.
Interesting.
And I did that without even a chart.
What kind of... Wow, that's pretty good. What kind of... probably made one of your own.
No.
What kind of a Halloween is this going to be?
I don't know.
If it's warm, it has Bridges. To be. It has to be, you know.
Is
chilly?
Do we have to move the clocks back this weekend?
I think that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we're going to have to do that. And invariably here at Stony Brook, and this is the truth. There are no two clocks that tell the same time anywhere,
unless there's some midnight clock repair service that walks around and
they have been
clock.
Walking around for a while.
Yeah.
I think one thing that we can claim about the Stony Brook clocks is that they... I'm sorry. No, one thing. one thing we can
almost
claim...
Gotcha. Almost gotcha.
One thing we can claim is that they tell every other time that there is. I think so. I think every clock around here, because they are at all different times. Somewhere on this campus there's a clock that says 5:45. Okay?
Where?
It's around. We have to look for it a little bit, but it's there.
Oh, okay.
There must be a few thousand clocks here on campus, and they all tell different times.
This one says 31:26, 27, 28, 29.
That's a timer, not a clock.
Well, close.
Difference, Mike.
Yeah.
Big difference. We have Captain Kendall Morse.
Oh, from Maine.
From Maine. He's a genuine article, they say here, an authentic downeaster from Machias, Maine.
Yeah, some good places in Maine.
Yeah. He worked in a sardine packing plant as a youth, and he became the skipper of a fisheries inspection vessel in his maturity.
Ah. Uh-huh.
So he's got a lot of stories to tell. You want to hear some stories, Mike?
From Kendall Morse.
Yeah.
My great-uncle Curtis Morse was known all over Washington County as a great storyteller and liar. And I remember one of my earliest impressions of Uncle Kurt was when I was a small boy, I went into his old fishing shack down on the shore. And I get inside this thing, and it's real gloomy, and it smelled of tar and rope and paint and things like that. And while I was looking around, I noticed that hanging on the wall was a big tin medal. And on it, it said, World Champion Liar. And I thought, at the time, being a kid, you know, I said to myself, who would be bold enough to present such a thing as this? And furthermore, who would be stupid enough to accept it? Well, of course, it was years later that I realized that the true context of the thing was that simply somebody thought that Uncle Kurt deserved some sort of token for his ability to make people laugh. I remember one time, many years ago, he made the statement that he had a rifle that would shoot so far that he had to put salt on the bullet so the meat wouldn't spoil while he was getting it. He always had something to say about the weather. He especially liked to pick on the wind. And he said one time the wind had blowed so hard down to his house that it unraveled a crowbar. And blew two rooster feathers through a grindstone. Uncle Kurt was telling a story one time about a big bear up on the mountain that he encountered while he was picking raspberries. He was picking away, and all of a sudden this big she-bear rose right up out of the bushes and let a hell of a growl out of her. He says, you know, I run, and I kept looking back, and the harder I'd run, the harder the bear would run. And we kept running. And I couldn't run fast enough to get away from her, and she couldn't run fast enough to gain on me. So we run that way quite a while. By and by, he says, you know, no, the only way that I could get clear of that damn bear was to run across this frozen pond. Now, that pond was frozen just thick enough to hold me up. But she, being twice as heavy, fell through the ice. Well, somebody picked this up real quick. They said, now, wait a minute. You were picking raspberries. This had to be in August. And then you run across a frozen pond. Well, he says, I just forgot to tell you, the damn thing chased me from August to Christmas. Anyone that's ever done any trout fishing knows that the average brook trout is a fairly small fish. The biggest one I ever saw only weighed about a pound. It was 13 inches long. But Uncle Kurt caught one bigger than that one time. He said when he hauled it out of the brook, it took 20 minutes for the water to fill up the hole it left. And he knew it was a big fish and there was going to be a record and he ought to have a record of it somewhere. So he hauled it into Machias to get it weighed. And there wasn't a set of scales in the town big enough to weigh it. So he took a picture of it and the negative weighed 14 pounds. He always had to exaggerate no matter what. Came out of the woods one time with his rifle in deer season, and in Maine you're only allowed one deer per season. He encountered this stranger, and the stranger said to him, how's the hunting? Kurt says, not bad, he killed three deer before breakfast. And the stranger says, you know who I am? Kurt says, no. Stranger says, I'm the new game warden for all of Washington County. Kurt says, you know who I am? Stranger says, no. He says, I'm the biggest damn liar in the whole state of Maine. In his tirade on weather, I remember one time he said he was bragging about how severe the winters were when he was a boy. Claimed it was a common sight back in them days to see a man out poking around with a pole trying to find his chimney. Claimed it rained so hard down there so long one time there was three kids born with webbed feet. And a crew of men was drowned in a hay rack. He liked to talk about the hard times back when he was a boy. Claimed he was 15 years old before he got his first pair of shoes. By that time, his feet were so tough, he wore them out on the inside first. Somebody was talking about ancestry and bragging about people coming over on the Mayflower. He said, well, far as I know, none of my relatives ever come across on the Mayflower, but I had an aunt that come across in a canoe. He was talking about his lazy brother. Claimed he was so lazy he'd come home at night and pretend he was drunk so his mother would undress him and put him to bed. He'd get up 4 o'clock in the morning so he'd have a longer day to loaf. Talking about this real skinny woman down there one time, he said she was so skinny she swallowed a prune seed and 3 guys left town. He was always talking to strangers on the street. He loved to bait summer people. And one of them stuck his neck out by mentioning that he'd read somewhere that Washington County, Maine, was one of the healthiest places in the United States. And Uncle Kurt says, that's a fact. He says, when I come here, I didn't have any hair, no teeth, and I couldn't walk a step. A tourist, he says, well, so how long you lived here? And Uncle Kurt says, I was born here. He did say that back years ago, people used to live a long, long time. In fact, they had to shoot his grandmother to start a graveyard. He used to talk about all the characters that used to live around there when he was a boy. Told about this very irreverent type fellow that never went to church in his life. But he found himself crossing a slippery log one time in the winter. And he knew that if he fell off that log, he was going to take a swim in an ice cold stream. So all the way across, he was hitching his way an inch at a time, kept repeating, the Lord's good and the devil's fair. When he got to the other bank, he says, now you can both go to hell. He said they had a town drunk down there years ago, and the only request that he ever had was that when he died, he wanted to be cremated. So when he did die, they cremated him all right. Took 3 days to put the fire out. I think one of the funniest stories that ever happened with Uncle Kurt actually did happen. It may have been dressed up a bit, but basically this story is true. His wife sent him out to the woodpile, which was way across the road. He no more than got out to the woodpile when this fellow come along wanted to know if he wanted to go on a ride. Well, my Uncle Kurt was the type of fellow that no matter which way an automobile was headed, that's the same way he was headed. He spent most of his time riding back and forth. Well, he got in the back seat of the car, and he never said a word to his wife. About 5 miles down the road, it occurred to him that he should ask where they was going. They told him they was going to New York for the weekend. And they kept right on going. Well, he'd never been to New York. In fact, he'd never seen a building taller than the town hall. 2 stories. And some of his impressions of New York were like this. The hotel they stayed in was one of them skyscrapers, and they was on the top floor, and he said it was so damn high up that the fellow tried to commit suicide, and he jumped out of the window, and he starved to death before he hit the sidewalk. One fellow died in the night, and they had to bring him down 3 flights to get him into heaven. Claimed they never did see any cockroaches because they don't live that long to climb that high. When he got back home 3 days later, he remembered that he was after a pile of wood. So he gathered up his wood and he went in the house. His wife says to him, "Where the hell have you been?" He says, "Mother, you wouldn't believe how dull that axe is." As I mentioned before, Uncle Kurt was known all over the place as a liar. Everyone knew him. One day a young man walked up to him on the street and he said, "Uncle Kurt, tell me a lie." Uncle Kurt looked right at him and he says, "I've been looking all over Hell's Kitchen for you." He says, "You better get home quick. Your father's been kicked in the head by a horse and he ain't got long to live." Well, this kid jumped into his car and went tearing up the street. He got home and his old man was out splitting wood. Back he come feather white and mad in hell. Kurt's answer was, "You told me to tell you a lie." Uncle Kurt used to tell about how brave he wasn't. And one night, he stayed too late at the party, and he was walking home on a dirt road. And down where he lived, there was no streetlights, and both sides of the road were nothing but bushes and trees and black. And he's licking it right along. By and by, he said he heard a hell of a screech in the bushes, and he knew that it was something that he just would not meet. So he took off running. And he says, "I run so fast that by the time I got home, I was going so fast that I had to take 3 turns around the house to slow down enough to get a hold of the doorknob. Finally, get into bed and just got settled down, and I heard something hitting the roof. My wife, Angie, she says to me, 'Kurt,' she says, 'it's starting to hail. Would you just soon get up and take them clothes in off the line?' He says, 'Hail be damned, that's just the gravel just catching up with me.'"
Good evening. You're tuned to WUSB FM in Stony Brook, New York, and I'm not Jerry DeLisle.
And neither am I.
Although that is Jerry DeLisle's folk intro.
Yes, it is.
What is this, Thursday night right now?
Thursday night, yeah. Let's make it Thursday night. We can do that.
Okay, sounds good. I'm normally here at this time then.
You should be in back pulling your records for your 9 o'clock show.
Well, actually, he also plays that as his outro. So I could be actually just coming in right after.
What
Joanne
about his
Summer.
Outro? Doesn't he play his outro as his outro?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
A great song like that, he doesn't play as his outro? What does he play it as?
No, I can't find it now. But, you know, I'll tell you what he plays for his outro. You ready?
Yes. Oh, don't start.
That's what he plays for his outro as well.
Well, I want to hear...
Well, Jerry DeLisle may be listening right now. And if he is, call up, Jerry. And tell us what you play for your outro. I should know. I'm here.
It's
every
right
Thursday.
There. It's right there.
It's every Thursday
it.
Night at 9 o'clock.
It's right there where I got the intro from.
What, you mean the Ed Trickett?
Yeah. It's got to be right there.
Okay.
Well, we heard from Captain Kendall Morse some of his main wit and wisdom.
As main wit.
His typical seafaring captain way.
Yes. You know, another interesting piece that we have that's quite important, quite... Well, it's not really similar to it. Let me see if I can find it. You keep on talking.
I'll keep on talking. So, no reason for us to stop talking just because there's total disorganization. You know, there's no reason for that type of a thing to happen.
And this is
do American and French women understand themselves? Do American and French women understand one another?
When I first came to Brookhaven town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around, way, hey, 90.1. Then one day I turned on the dial, way, hey, 90.1. There I found music to make me smile, way, hey, 90.1. I waited for a legal ID, way, hey, 90.1. The DJ said WUSB, way, hey, 90.1. They start each day with the rising sun, way, hey, 90.1. Don't ever finish till after day is done. Way, hey, 90.1. So if you want good music to hear, way, hey, 90.1. There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear, way, hey, 90.1. So if you like the sounds, do take a look, way, hey, 90.1. At WUSB Stony Brook.
That's it, man. That's it. You got it.
Yeah, this is the one. Well, why don't we get into it then?
Okay.
Frank and Arch has gone away somewhere.
don't know where. Lay me down, Carolina, lay me down. Don't want to wake up in the morning no more. Sing me one slow, sad song for this one last old time before they close the minstrel show.
Ed Trickett, and one of those very interesting things that we have on these tape cartridges around here. Yeah. Anyway, it seems like we lost Eric again, as usual, but no matter. Coming up, just the other side of midnight. No, the other side of one. I'm going to be speaking live on the air with Ed Alden, so don't go away for that.
you out there are going to read too much Kafka and wind up turning into a giant cockroach. So, here are some handy tips to make life as an insect easier.
First off, throw out all the pesticides in your home before anyone gets any cute ideas.
Now, you might find the change quite bothersome at first, especially since you have to go out and buy lots of extra shoes, socks, and gloves. But look on the bright side. Now you can play piano duets all by yourself.
Not to mention being a real swell juggler.
If you get sick, your regular family doctor can't help you anymore. So you'd better find a friendly entomologist.
And now you don't have to throw out your garbage anymore. You can eat it.
But you might have to change your job, especially if you were a door-to-door salesman. You might want to go to Hollywood and try for a series, just like Mr. Ed, the talking horse.
And if all else fails, you can always become a politician and blend right in with the crowd. So, this is Spunky.
Ed Spunky saying, be careful what you read. And
don't play with blasting caps.
Hi, do you think your property taxes might be too high? I'm Brian Hasbrook, inviting you to join me for the Public Interest Radio Show. This coming Monday at 6 p.m., I'll be talking with Frank Domurod, the tax reform director of the New York Public Interest Research Group. Frank will be talking about a new study that shows that far too many homeowners in Brookhaven are incorrectly assessed and pay too much in taxes. So why not find out what's happening and join us this Monday at 6 p.m. on WUSD.
We'll be right back. WUSB, Stony Brook.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mike Juhas. I have an interview, an exclusive interview with Mr. Pat McGuigan. Hello, Pat. How are you?
How you doing, folks?
Now, Pat's an attorney with the firm of McGuigan, McGuigan, and Grammarole.
That's correct, Mike.
And Mr. McGuigan has offered to come up and take some telephone questions on the finer points of law. Now, normally, now, Eric would be up here to participate in this as well, but now, true to form, he's not here for this interview either.
Where did your co-host go, anyway?
I don't know. He wasn't here when Harvey Hunter came up to the studio. He wasn't here...
Harvey Hunter came up to the studio?
That's right. He wasn't here when Annabelle Cairns from Newsday came up.
Harvey Hunter and Annabelle Cairns?
He didn't come with me. Eric didn't come with me when I went into to interview John Bendel of the National Lampoon.
John Bendel of the National Lampoon? Harvey Hunter, Annabelle Cairns, John Bendel of the National Lampoon?
And now Patrick McGuigan.
Patrick McGuigan? Oh!
That's you.
Hi, folks.
All right, now... could you tell us a little bit about yourself, Pat?
Well, yes, actually.
Or actually, I should say Mr. McGuigan-esque.
Well, you can call me Pat. That's no problem here, Mike.
Okay.
I assume I can call you Mike, too.
Yes, Pat.
Oh, all right.
I was almost named Pat.
Is that so?
That is very true, because I was born...
Well, that's very interesting.
I was born on the 16th of March, and I was born just about 4 minutes away from midnight. So if I was born the next day, St. Patrick's Day, my mother would have called me Pat.
They would have named you Pat.
That's true.
Well, that's really something, Mike.
When were you born?
I was born way back. Farther back than I care to admit.
Oh, boy. It's one good thing about a public service show like this on USB. You get to chuckle every once in a while that you don't...
Yes. That's one thing I noticed about this. I have listened to this show in the past, you know. It's an entertaining program. I must hand it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
here
tell
it
us
is.
About yourself a little bit. Thank you. That's a very nice hand you have. Three spades. And two aces, check that out.
Oh, you're quite a card, Mike.
Oh, no.
I really wish your co-host was here. He enjoyed it. He has a good sense of humor, I assume.
Well, some people have claimed he does. I don't know where they get their information.
That's too bad.
But in any event, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your schooling.
Yes. Well, that's why I'm here.
When did you first get into the bar?
Well, that's a trick question, Mike. I almost answered that wrong.
About 2 o'clock. Right when they were trying to.
I've been interested in law since the late 50s.
Oh, when you were born.
I got out of college. And thank you, Mike. That's a compliment. I've held my ears pretty well.
Uh-huh.
When I got out of college, I realized that. Well, it just wasn't any money doing what I was doing.
What were you doing?
Running a gas station.
Oh.
It wasn't working out very well.
But there's no pressure running a gas station.
Oh, there is. Well, especially these days.
Air pressure in the...
how do you make it through the day, knowing you're you, Mike?
I don't know. I constantly ask myself for autographs.
Anyway, I'm more than interested
in law. I end up signing
law.
Everything in my office.
What do you do, Mike?
All these Mike Juhas signatures. Well, I'm a famous radio personality.
Oh, you do this for a living?
Yes, I do.
Oh, interesting. But anyway, I was interested in law since the 1950s, and I decided in the late 70s, as they deregulated the advertising for law, that I could make it a much more personal type of a thing, reaching out to each individual out there
mm-hmm.
and getting him to be interested in how law can help him. And law can help every one of us, Mike.
That's
make
good.
No mistake about that.
I really identify with that phrase, reaching out, and because, well, gosh, people, it looks like the phone calls are stacking up right now.
Did you give out the number yet?
No, I didn't, but they know what it is.
They're all tied up there.
They are all tied up.
Tied up like a Christmas tree.
And it's not even near Hanukkah.
Speaking of which, we do
which,
have special
Halloween's coming
Christmas,
up. Ha-ha.
Christmas discounts at my law firm.
Oh, at your legal clinic.
Yes, and I guess I could talk about that
McGuigan,
a little bit later.
McGuigan and Grammarole.
Yes, that is the name.
And where is your clinic located, by the way?
It's on the corner of Route 24 and 112.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that is an authorized clinic.
It is authorized clinic and mm-hmm. other things as well, but. Well, I suppose we might as well get to some questions. I'm here to answer them. That's what I'm here for. I'm a lawyer, and that's my job, you know. I guess Mike, I just pressed that button. Okay, let me see if I can get a caller over here. Oh, I think I have something. Is somebody there?
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
Mr. McGuigan?
Yes, yes.
Yes,
I have the right button pushed.
Yes, you do have the right button pushed. I'm listening to you. I'm
Where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from Stony Brook.
Oh.
And I have this question bothering me. I'm about to open my own business.
Yes.
An ice cream business, actually.
Oh, how nice.
Coming on this time of year, though, they tell me that business isn't quite so good as it could be in the summertime. So what kind of advice do you have for me that I should open my business now, or should I wait till summer?
Well, I think you should open your business as soon as possible, because you can never tell when the chance for opening a business might go away. Ice cream is something that you can enjoy all year round. I don't really understand the legal aspects of this question.
Well, you see, sir, now you said you have a Christmas discount.
Yes.
When does that take effect? Does it start after Thanksgiving, like all the other sales?
It takes effect, yes, I believe on the last day of November.
I see. Okay, well, I was wondering if we should incorporate now, or should we incorporate in the state of Delaware?
Oh, well, you know about that little trick. Okay, I would consider, go down to Delaware. It's a very nice place, and a lot of people, because of course, the climate down there, decide to open up their main offices and just to have a place to get away to every now and then. No other particular reason, just it's a nice place to be, you know, sort of between here and Florida. And I would certainly suggest that for any ice cream place or anything. In fact, I have an office down there myself.
Oh, really?
It's a very nice place.
Oh, really?
Delaware is a good place to be.
I go down to Newark every now and again down there in the Delaware Shore, you know.
Yeah, they have good horse racing, too.
Yes, they do. They certainly do.
As far as your ice cream business goes,
I almost forgot about it. Thank
maybe you,
you
can work something out, because I know there's no ice cream store around where my office is. Maybe we could work out some sort of a... let me get back in touch with you about that, sir.
Well, how about if I call you back in your office first thing Monday morning?
That sounds good to me.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to another call here. Whoops, I pressed the wrong button there. I think we're about ready to go to another call. Hello?
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 Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. You sound like you're calling from a very far distance.
Yes, Westchester, actually.
Whoa, Westchester. Mike, I didn't know you got Westchester.
Yes, Westchester. We do listen up in Westchester.
And what can I do for you up in Westchester?
Well, actually, now I've been running into this problem. Running into, that's kind of a play on words, because, well, my problem consists of, actually, I have a long stream of moving violations and traffic accidents.
Uh-huh.
And no reputable lawyer will touch my cases.
Well, I can tell you of a place where there are very reputable lawyers. It's right on the corner of Route 112 and 24.
Oh, wait a minute.
And they'll do everything for you. They'll even fill your tires up while you're...
Sir, I'm up in Westchester.
It's well worth the trip, and we do have a charter bus that comes down every Saturday afternoon starting at 2 o'clock, and it'll get you back at your door by 6 o'clock with a complete tune-up and everything.
Oh.
So consider it, and all the folks up in Westchester, if you mention this radio station, WSUB, WUSB.
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought that was a submarine you were talking about.
I'm sorry, I messed up. Mike's glaring at me from the other side of the room. If you mention this radio station...
I wanted to talk to Mike.
Well, Mike is talking to somebody else on the other side of the studio now.
But he's screening calls. Was that the guy I just spoke to?
Gosh, I think we have an assistant up here. I don't know. I'm not on the station myself, so I don't know what exactly is going on.
But where is that guy, Eric? Eric, what's his name?
Oh, you'd have to ask Mike about that.
Carly?
You'd have to ask Mike about that.
I see.
As far as the bus goes, just wait outside. I'm not exactly sure what... Well, I can give you the telephone number to call up. If you hold on a little later, I'll get back to you and give you the phone number.
I'd like that.
I know it's a long-distance call, but the rates are kind of lower now, so I'll be sure to give that to you.
Oh, so I'd get that from the other guy?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye. All right, I think we have time for... Mike, is one more call? Okay, all right. There is a phone call right now. Let me see if I can get to it. I'm sorry about that. Okay. I'm not a technician, Mike, so don't expect too much from me. Let's Let's try this. Oh, I think I have it now. Hello,
hello.
Hello? Hello, yes.
Am I on the air?
Yes, I believe you are.
How come I can't hear myself?
Am I on the air? Hello?
How come I can't hear myself? I can't hear myself?
On the air?
On the air. How come I can't hear myself?
I don't...
Oh, I hear myself.
Oh, you're on delay.
Delay system?
Yes, a delay. Please turn down your radio, otherwise it'll make things very upsetting.
Oh, thank you. Hang on, let me just turn that down.
Okay.
Okay, hello, are you there, Mr. McGuigan?
Oh, yes, yes. Go ahead.
Well, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Selden.
Oh, Selden.
And I'm a vice president of a large Fortune 100 organization.
Yes.
And I need some legal advice for the company.
And about how much money is invested in this company?
About $60 million. That's cash. We have 60...
Excuse me. Yes, go ahead.
We have $60 million in cash outstanding right now. We are definitely in the black this quarter. Although we did have a deficit of about $3 in the last fiscal year, first quarter of fiscal year 1978. But we really rebounded. We're expecting, hello?
$60 million?
Yeah, $60 million, yeah.
In cash?
Yeah, cash. It's a liquid value, yeah. But I'm wondering now, uh-huh. See, my husband wants to get in on this business.
Yes.
I did let him in the company. We did have an opening for a custodian, and I let him in as an entry-level position.
Yes.
And now he wants to be chairman of the board.
Oh, don't you listen to him.
I know it's a rags to.
You know what your
story.
Husband is trying to do? He's trying to take advantage of...
Of me?
And set behind all the moves that the female sex has made in the last 80 years. Do you know that in 1900, women did not even have the right to vote?
Well, that was 80...
And if your husband was around then, I'll bet he wouldn't even have said anything about that.
Well,
your husband is a mean, obnoxious man. He has no right to be doing the kind of things that he's doing to you. Now, what I would suggest, ma'am, is to close the door on your husband for good. Come on down to Route 112 and 24, which happens to be my legal office. Bring the assets of your company with you so that we can best look at them and see exactly where they belong. And I'll find out the best way for your company to go in the future. Don't listen to your husband. He is obviously a very nasty man. He wants to cheat you out of all your money. And if you listen to him or anybody else, you're going to come to a lot of grief. So come on down
to
a reputable service station, lawyer's
matter?
Office.
Does it matter that we've been married happily for 40 years?
It makes no difference.
And that his family.
I took a psychology course in college too, and I know some things about that.
But I don't want to mention
things
any
can be
names.
Deceiving for a long, long time.
I don't want to mention any names, Mr. McGuigan. But if I was to mention his last name, you'd shock yourself because it is one of the most powerful families in America. Well, and now the man is rebelling at his custodial job. What should I do? I have to come down to your office?
You come down to my office, ma'am, you can write down his name on a piece of paper, and I can take it from there, and we'll see what we can work out.
Oh, okay. Well, you've been very helpful, then. Thank you.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Let's go to another call. Hello?
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 Yes, I think I hear somebody. Hello?
Mr. McGuigan?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Could be a lot better, actually.
Well, it could be a lot worse, too, probably.
Yeah,
right?
I'm just getting over a terrible cold for the first thing. And
I had a cold last week. There must be something going around.
There is definitely something going around. One of the fellows at the office just caught one, and I started sneezing as I was talking to him on the phone today.
The Swiss flu, I believe, or something along those lines.
Yeah, well, anyway, the last caller you had, sir, really hit home for me because it seems like that lady was about to divorce her husband.
Yes.
And I've been married to my wife for approximately 16 months.
Yes.
And it sounds like she wants to divorce me.
I see.
I'm really at my wit's end. I don't know what to do.
Well, did you ask her if that is, in fact, what she wants?
No.
Well, the thing to do, sir, is to lay the cards on the table and ask her just what it is she wants. And you better do it soon, because the discounts on divorce go out of effect, according to state law, on November 30th. So you're going to be singing a much sadder song if something happens after that. So I'd really look into it now. It's important that you get this thing cleared up, because there's no point in delaying something that...
Should I divorce her and try to get all her estate, or should she divorce me, or should
Let's compare estates here, sir. Now, what do you have, and what does she have?
Well, I have $33,000 worth of luxuries, a Porsche, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And she has roughly the same amount, except she drives a Maserati.
A Maserati?
Really, we live in a modest apartment. I think we pay like $700 a month rent. So, like I say, it's really a dive.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think she's fooling around with other men. I really do. I seriously think that. She has this... I don't know. I trailed her one time. And you would never believe where she ended up parking her car. Shall I tell you?
Well, I might as well. I'm sure that people out there care about this type of thing.
She parked her car at a garage on the corner of Route 112 and 24.
Is that so?
Yes, she did. It seems like a respectable enough building, and had a service station on the ground floor, Larry's.
Yes.
Medical clinic in the middle floor, and I believe there's a kind of a law firm up on top.
Yes.
Next thing I know, I saw her up on the roof sunbathing with some guy with long hair. It looked like he was fairly well dressed. By the way, how long is your hair?
Oh, I'm sorry to cut you off, sir, but it's time for something. Mike is gesturing to me. Okay, that's about enough for now. I'm sorry I wasn't able to finish that call.
Pat,
I hope I answered some questions.
You certainly had a bunch of phone calls tonight.
They're still lighting up like Christmas trees. No more calls, I guess, folks.
Yes, please don't call us now. I'd like to thank this fine lawyer. Patrick McGuigan from, or is it McGuigan?
It's McGuigan. Well, it depends really on what part of the country you're from. Both can be correct.
From McGuigan, and what was the other one? Grammarole?
Yes.
McGuigan, and Grammarole.
Close enough, Mike. I want to thank you for having me on the program, and I hope I solve some legal problems. If you have any legal problems, feel free to come down and visit me.
Where are you located again?
On the corner of Route 112 and 24. And it's silly me. I forgot this one thing to mention to that gentleman, that we do marriage counseling as well. I was looking at my card just now. I totally forgot that I did that.
I see. Okay, well, thank you very much.
We do other things, too. We'll take care of your car while you're inside talking to us.
What do you mean you'll take care of it?
As far as tune-ups and brake jobs, we do transmission work now and all sorts of things.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope to
meet your co-host someday.
Yes, well, you did miss him. Thank you very much for coming up. Perhaps you can come up again some other time.
It's been a pleasure.
Good night.
It's now the time of the program where we venture out into the billions and billions of life forms on this giant spaceship called Earth. Thank you.
this spaceship, we will take one sampling of life and examine it thoroughly and in depth. Where we will go and what we will find, nobody knows. But we can find out. And beware, because sooner or later, we're going to get you. I'm the voice of Long Island.
Yes. How's that for ominous music? Well, just turn it down a little bit. Actually, we have waiting on our telephone line to come up in just a couple of seconds, a fellow by the name of Ed Alden.
Ed Alden.
Yes, Ed Alden. And let's see. Ed, are you there?
Yeah, sure. How you doing, mate?
Pretty good. Now, you're at a radio station. Could you tell us where?
Okay, we are Progressive 96 WHUR FM in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh. And what kind of music are you playing tonight?
This morning?
Yeah.
Well, I'm basically playing the type of music that my listeners can appreciate on a muggy and wet morning in Washington.
Uh-huh. It's muggy and wet down there, too, huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
What's the temperature like down there right about now?
Right now it's about 52 degrees, 11 Celsius. Rain should be ending sometime early on in the morning.
Right now up here it's about 6 degrees Celsius. That's 43 Fahrenheit.
Ooh, a bit colder.
Yeah, so... What exactly is on the turntable right now?
What exactly is on the turntable right now?
Yeah.
Right now it's Al Jarreau, a selection entitled Easy, and that's getting ready to fade out, and I'm getting ready to cue up some music from Stanley Turrentine.
If you have to cue something up and we're talking with you, feel free to go and do your business there. We don't want to screw up your show, even though you may screw up ours, but that doesn't matter.
Well, let me tell you, Mike, it's already taken care of. I just have to push a little button and we'll get things going.
Now, you say station's at 96 on the dial. Now, are you a non-commercial station or a commercial station?
Oh, we're very commercial.
You are commercial?
Yes, sir.
I see, but you're a college station.
Yes, it is. It's owned by Howard University, and it is indeed a commercial station.
Oh, now that's the first time we've come across this in our calling up radio stations across the country, a commercial college station.
How does that operate? Now, the people, do they get paid?
Well, yeah, right now I am an intern myself.
Mm-hmm.
I work only on Saturday mornings, and I get paid an internship salary. I'm a junior at Howard University.
Uh-huh. Are you going to go into radio as a career?
Well, am I speaking to Mike or
Yeah,
Eric?
Well...
You're speaking to both of us, actually.
Yeah, we're both here, and you're speaking to everybody on Long Island, too. Well... potential to be speaking to everybody on Long Island.
Italy.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Well, right now my major is public relations at Howard University.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to reach out into sales, promotions. Also, I'm very interested in music, but I don't know at this point if that's where I'd like to make my career objectives be. I have to find out that time, too.
How long have you been doing this?
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this here at this station for about a month now.
At that station? Have you worked at other stations?
I worked at one campus AM radio station where I received the bulk of my training.
Uh-huh.
And from there I was able to move up to HUR.
Oh, very nice.
Now, is this station on 24 hours a day?
Yes, it is.
And what kind of variety do they have in their programming?
Well, we are very... I would say diversely programmed station. We play mostly progressive jazz. We play Washington, the top R&B. Always the top music in Washington. We break them.
You play the underground acts and...
Well, not necessarily underground, so to speak. That's kind of a vague word to use. Basically, I'd say that the latest hits, progressive R&B, progressive jazz.
Uh-huh.
This is Progressive 96.
How many watts do you push out?
Oh, this is a bad time in the morning to ask me that.
Oh.
I'm trying to organize some PSAs. And, as a matter of fact, the movie Body and Soul, which was written and directed by Leon Isaac Kennedy and starring Leon and his wife. That flick, and both Leon and Jane showed up, gave us a little intro on the type of things that they had to go through to get on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite interesting. I would like to take some time to cue up a record.
Okay, sure, go right ahead.
Don't grab too much.
Can you imagine what USB would?
Hey, hold on, please.
Sure. USB would be like if we had commercials.
Yeah.
Change the whole atmosphere of the place, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it would. Let's hear him, see if we can't hear him cue up his record.
Oh, what an exciting thing.
A record being cued in Washington, D.C.
Over the telephone.
The voice of
Long Island. I don't think I can hear it.
We might be on hold.
I think so.
It's rather a staticky connection.
96. I did not think a college station could do that. I guess College Station's getting away with anything these days.
That's true. That's for sure.
Just waiting for Ed... What's his last name again?
Alden.
Ed Alden, I'm sorry.
A-L-D-E-N.
To pick up the telephone in Washington, D.C.
And he's on from 12 to 6 on Progressive.
That's 96. Longer than any shift on this station.
Yeah?
No one does a six-hour show on this station.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do 3 or 4 hour shows.
Oh,
2 hour shows.
He's getting paid for it, too.
That's true.
I guess that
might add to the fun a little bit, but
none of us here get paid.
That'd be quite a crime, I think. I don't want to say that. But
if we got paid, it would be a crime?
On occasion, maybe.
Yeah, for some people, I guess.
Like on Thursday nights.
Yeah, this clown that's on, I think, was it Tuesday nights, too, sometime between 9 and 12.
Really? I have to listen.
Do your best. Listen to him, and he's pretty terrible.
I have to listen.
He's probably pulling out a record out of a back library or something, some back stack.
Back stack?
A back stack. I wonder if they play any reggae.
I was going to ask that same question, in fact. Reggae, they play jazz and R&B.
R&B.
I didn't hear rock in there anywhere.
No.
It's kind of a biggie, too.
Yeah.
And they play rock, they play reggae, they play classical, they have public affairs.
Did he say classical?
I didn't hear him say classical. I'm asking these questions.
Hello, Mike and Eric.
Yeah, we're back. You're back.
How you doing?
Okay. How about yourself?
Not bad. Well, we went through this already. we'd like to ask you some more questions about what exactly it is you program. Like, do you hit other types of music, such as reggae, rock, classical?
Okay. We play a little... I'd say maybe we do have a show entitled The Caribbean Experience, which comes on Saturday afternoons. We have a program entitled The Sunday Digest, which is news and information and mixed in with some progressive jazz music. And also included in this program is a call-in where listeners in the Washington, D.C. area can speak out, get some things off their chest. Let's see, from 7 to 12. Well, let me start in the morning. Starting in the early morning, Monday through Friday, we have Joe Gong from 12 midnight until 6 a.m. playing basically what I'm playing tonight, progressive jazz music such as Al Jarreau, Herbie Hancock, George Benson, Earl Cluth, Pieces of a Dream, etc. And after Joe Gong, it's Jerry Phillips, who has a program entitled The Morning Sun. Jerry mixes informative dialogue and basically his own music selection. And he also interviews very special guests, coming up with information pertinent to the Washington community.
following Jerry. It's Linda Reynolds, who was formerly a student at Howard University, who has now taken on the 10-to-3 shift, and she's doing an excellent job. Following Linda, it's our program director, Jesse Fax, who does the Afternoon Delight program. Directly following Jesse, we have The Daily Drum, which is an hour-long news broadcast, which is pretty rare usually for a station such as ours. I would say we have about 8 members on our news staff who cover the news from an Afro-American perspective, usually a perspective that is not generally covered by the general radio format. Following the drum, it's Melvin Lindsay and The Quiet Storm, which is another unique programming effort in Washington. Melvin plays basically mellow ballad-type music, ballad-type songs, and he goes from 7 up until midnight. He has, as a matter of fact, at that time slot, the number one program in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
Very proud of Melvin. Melvin also just recently started a program entitled Melvin's Melodies, in which he has a countdown of the top 20 ballads. Another unique programming venture.
Now, you mentioned your Caribbean experience. Is that what you called it?
That's right.
Now, what time? That's on Saturday afternoons. From what time to what time?
Okay, I'm not exactly sure at the moment.
I see.
Not exactly sure.
Uh-huh. And I guess you appeal to most of Washington there. Have you estimated the size of your listenership?
Oh, no.
Huh.
No, I have not. I'm sure that if you were to call one of our more regular jocks, announcers, they'd be able to tell you right offhand, but I can't at this time.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like you got quite a station down there, and we wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you. I appreciate this. This is quite a creative thing that you guys are doing out there.
Oh, we've been doing things like this for a while. Well, odds are we'll continue doing it into the future.
Tell me a little bit about USB.
Well, how do we begin? USB does just about everything there is to do in a week, musically anyway. We leave very little out. We hit a lot of international music, Indian, Pakistani, Chinese to start with, then various types of American music.
Italian, don't forget Italian.
Oh, sorry, Italian music is on,
right.
Too. We have reggae, we have rhythm and blues, we have rock and roll, new wave,
folk, classical,
traditional folk, bluegrass.
Yes, everything, just about everything we have. We even have a spiritual program on Sunday mornings.
Name something, Ed. See if you can name something we don't have on this station.
Okay. Let's see.
See, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is hard, isn't it?
So you play reggae?
Yeah, got that.
Okay, how about salsa?
Right after it.
Right after it.
Yep.
Stop.
I knew he was going to say that.
How about, let's see. You're making it tough on me.
We play Haitian music.
Classical program.
Yes, we have classical programming every day of the week.
That's unique. Do you give students in the Long Island area an opportunity?
Sure.
Most of the staff are made up of students and or alumni of Stony Brook here.
Right. Okay, well, I thank you for that information, Mike and Eric. And I'd like to say to your listeners that you should keep on listening to WUSB 90.1 FM. Stony Brook, you got quite a thing going there.
Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate you giving me a call and giving me a chance to talk to your listeners.
Well, now, can we talk to yours? No.
If we could, I'd definitely like to hook it up for you.
Yeah. Well, maybe our paths will cross again someday. If we're down in D.C., we'll look you up.
I hope so.
Okay, cheerio. Really nice talking to you.
Hey, thanks again for the call.
Okay.
Good morning.
Bye-bye.
Bye. some vintage Bob Marley. It's off of a brand new album. A very brand new album. Just came in the station a little while ago. It's called Bob Marley. Chances Are. And the tune we heard was Reggae on Broadway. It says here now, these cuts were recorded between 1968 and 1972. And all of them on this album were previously unreleased. Some interesting stuff from Bob Marley. Well, don't touch that dial. The tripods are coming around real shortly. Meantime, some Bob book... Start again. This is one of these rough... Oh, Eric wants to say something. He's knocking on the walls. Let's see. He's in the other studio. I didn't realize he had anything to say. Let's wait around for him to come around. Oh, I guess that must mean that the tripods are ready. If that means...
No, it doesn't mean that, Mike. I'm sorry. I just knocked over everything here in my rush to get to the microphone. So there's tape all over the floor now, a couple of records broken, nothing really significant though this time.
Uh-huh.
Maybe next time.
So how about if I get into some Bob Brookmeyer then?
Why don't you do that?
All right. You interrupted my perfect rap to do that, to just for this.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Long Island, in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Howard and Kathy last week, they had just landed in France for the first part of their vacation. Now, as we join them, they're walking through the street. And we hear... Well, Kathy, this is it. France. And it's just like I pictured it. Street cafes and everything.
Oh, yes. How different it all is from New York. So picturesque.
And look at all those cute little European cars. They look like little toys.
They do, don't they? But aren't they all on the wrong side of the road?
No. No, Kathy, they're on the same side we are back home. You know, the right side.
Yes, I can see that. But I thought they drove on the left side. So wouldn't it be wrong for them to drive on the right side if they ordinarily drive on the wrong side?
Yeah, Kathy, I've never known anybody who could phrase a question quite like you.
Oh, thank you, Howard.
You know, there's something about this place that I totally forgot about.
Well, what's that?
They don't speak English here.
Oh, you noticed that too?
You know, that could be a problem, especially if we want to communicate with these people at all.
Well, I have a book in my purse somewhere. It's from high school, when I used to study French. I figured we could possibly use it to get by here.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, Kathy. I don't know a word of French myself.
I hardly remember any either. It's so strange to walk down this street and hear everybody talking in French.
And not be able to understand a word of what they're saying.
Oh, that's right. You know, Howard, even though I don't know what the devil these people are saying, I get the distinct impression that they're talking about us.
Oh, come on now, Kathy. Well, aren't you being just a little bit paranoid?
No. Listen for yourself. Listen quite.
I still don't hear it.
Les Americans sont très stupides.
I think I know what that means.
They are looking at us with a kind of glare.
Do Americans have a bad name in France? Do you know?
I don't think so. They supported our revolution.
Well, that was 200 years ago, Howard. Did anything happen recently between the two countries in the past 2 months?
Well, gee, I don't know. I don't really keep up on world affairs anymore. No, I don't even watch the evening news. Now that Walter Cronkite isn't there.
Mm.
It just doesn't seem to be any point.
Oh, Howard, look. What an enchanting little cafe.
Yes.
Anybody go in?
Well, I don't see why not. It is our vacation, after all. Let's see what it's like.
Everybody's looking at us, Howard.
Don't worry about it, Kathy. Don't forget, we're foreigners in a strange land. Here's a table.
I'm gonna try to order in French. See if I remember any of it, you know?
Well, here's the waiter now, Kathy.
Oh, garçon! That's what they call them here, Howard.
Oui, madame.
Le moustique pardu, s'il vous plaît.
Très bien, madame.
I seem to do that pretty well, don't you think, Howard?
Yes, you did. What was it you ordered?
Oh, that's a surprise, Howard. Let me make sure I got it right.
At least we got rid of that mysterious stranger. I haven't seen him on land since we left.
Oh, I hope we don't see him either. He was a bit of a pain, a pest on that boat, don't you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I've had trouble with that, thinking that your Uncle Jonathan was behind the whole thing. I don't know. It's a puzzle.
Uncle Jonathan has been known to do some strange things, but I don't think he's behind this.
Well, you're saying that because you know, you're his niece. But I know him as a person.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He
did set you up on that island with, what's her name,
Brigitte Leroux.
Brigitte Leroux.
I don't remember her name for some reason. And that was not a pleasant experience, Kathy. And everything that I can remember that has to do with that man has not been a pleasant experience, including having to move out of Big Bear City.
That's because you left the island before Brigitte even showed up.
Brigitte never showed up. She was smart. She knew that Uncle Jonathan really didn't... They only call him Uncle Jonathan over there.
In any event, yeah, I know they call him Ogilarch, right?
That's his last name.
Yeah. In any event, I don't think he's behind this.
Well, let's try not to think about it.
But I don't think he's behind this.
It was a strange thing, though, having someone who knew you on the
phone. Oh, no!
What is it, Kathy?
I think I just ordered baked mosquitoes.
And so Howard and Kathy begin their vacation in France. Will the mysterious stranger catch up to them? And what, if anything, is going on back home? You want to tune in next time when we hear Howard say,
"You know, baked mosquitoes aren't too bad."
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Jim Ross do if he knew we were talking on the back porch bluegrass theme?
Oh, yeah, I kind of figured something like that.
Yeah.
That certainly was a rousing episode of the Tripods, don't you think?
Certainly was. I hope they don't get hurt over there in France. I didn't know that was a esteemed part of the world now. It might be. There's some hostility over there. Who knows? Find out next week.
I guess they're fairly naive.
I always thought they said naive. No, I guess...
No, that's
some
like,
stranger told me that once, and I believed him.
No, that's what you say when you're talking about the knaves are restless and you forgot to put the tea in, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Forget to put the tea in, huh?
Yeah.
I do that quite often.
Yeah.
End up with a pot of boiling water.
Something like that. I had some really good tea the other day.
Did you know?
Yes, I did.
I'd say, in ordinary life, I'd say what kind was it, but I can't say that on the radio, so I'll just say,
well, no,
I'm happy for you.
It wasn't a particular brand. It was one of these, you know, natural types where you go down to the health food store and you actually buy a, you know, a little bag, you know.
Like a bushel.
Well, not quite a
little bushel. Very
a
little.
Satchel.
A little satchel, baby satchel.
A satchel full of teas. Yeah, well, that's basically what I had. It was good. It was like orange peels in it and stuff. It was really...
Did we ask Ed down in Washington if he played bluegrass? Bluegrass?
No, but we did ask him if he played bluegrass.
Sorry about that. About an H got onto the end of that word. How those things happen.
Well, because you're thinking of Dak Parse.
You know, it's really amazing how you can pick somebody totally at random, which is what we did, and have a really nice conversation with them and affect their lives, because we did do that. He's thinking about us.
Yeah, he's
at various times throughout the night.
I bet he's thinking, damn, those guys really were nice up in Long Island.
Yeah, I wish I was on a station like that.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever find, no matter how far we look, a station quite like USB.
That's probably very true.
I hope so.
Well, anyway, it's about 1:59 in the morning time for a look at the latest news. President Reagan and other leaders of 22 of the world's richest and poorest nations have wrapped up their economic conference in Cancun, Mexico. Mexican President Lopez Portillo... José López Portillo said after Friday's final session, "We will translate our words into action to help the developing countries." López Portillo called for joint action to help solve individual economic problems. The conference co-chairman, Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, said the most important result of the meeting was to stimulate discussions between the developed northern nations and the less developed southern nations.
And Reagan said before the closing session that great progress had been made, but he cautioned against creating a gigantic new international bureaucracy to alleviate poverty. And a naturalized American citizen returned home Friday from Yugoslavia, where he was held 6 months after being convicted on espionage charges. About 70 relatives and well-wishers greeted college professor Bosco Simic. In Chicago, Simic, who defected from Yugoslavia in 1962, had returned to his native land in April to attend his mother's funeral and visit his father. He was arrested boarding a plane home, and on Wednesday, Simic was granted amnesty and ordered to leave the communist country, which he did.
Sounds like you're putting in some unnecessary H's as well.
Some stray letters are flying in there. I don't know how it's happening, but I'll try to alleviate it.
Yeah, a federal judge in San Francisco has denied a motion by Black Panther Party co-founder Huey Newton to overturn a 1978 conviction for carrying a gun as an ex-felon. The judge ruled Friday that Newton has not fully represented his arguments in state courts. Newton remains free on $100,000 bond, a pending appeal of a 2-year state prison sentence stemming from a weapons possession conviction.
Sorry. Oh, boy. A Black Panther fugitive wanted in a... I hope I don't put any stray letters here. Wanted in 19... it's the news, Mike, because that's supposed to be funny. 1968. I don't think that we can stop this now.
Yeah, we can't rewind the tape.
No. Unless we're on tape, are we?
No, I think we're live.
Let's check. Nope, we're live. Sorry. A Black Panther fugitive wanted in a 1968 bombing case is the latest radical to be arrested in apparent connection with a bloody Brinks armored truck robbery earlier this week. The suspect, Nat Burns, was taken into custody Friday after a shootout with New York City police. His companion, identified as Samuel Smith, was killed. Police say the car may have been involved in Tuesday's holdup in Nanuet, New York, in which a guard and two policemen were killed. 4 people were arrested, 3 of them members of the radical Weather Underground.
Researchers say they're encouraged that interferon produced by genetic engineering is passing early safety tests. They cite a study conducted at Stanford and in Houston. Dr. Sandra Horning of Stanford says the product works essentially the same way as natural interferon, and she notes that while the study was intended only to demonstrate the safety of synthetic interferon, it shrank tumors in 7 of 16 cancer patients. Spring forward, fall back. That's one way to remember how to handle daylight savings time, and in case you haven't been keeping track of the seasons, it's fall, so remember to set your clocks back 1 hour. And 2 a.m. Sunday rolls round.
That's exactly 24 hours from now.
Exactly. So what would it be? It would be 1 o'clock again.
It would be 1 o'clock, which means we'd have to do 2 more hours of this show.
Yeah. Well, too bad we're not on tomorrow night. Who's on tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night will be Lewis Heckheimer.
Really?
Yeah, he'll be on from 12 to 3. He doesn't know he's going to be on, really, from 12 to 3 and then
no, it says
another hour. He'll be off.
It says Rochelle. On the list in the back.
Well, sometimes Lewis goes by other names.
I see.
Anyway, starting tomorrow, which is Sunday, yes, Amtrak will be running 6 trains each day, or 3 in each direction, between New York and Washington, D.C., and they'll be making the trip in only 3 hours. The 6 runs, which will run on schedules cutting about 1.5 hour from the regular time, will make only 2 stops along the way, at Philadelphia's 30th Street Station and at Baltimore, Maryland.
Hmm.
The southbound high-speed trains will depart Manhattan's Penn Station each day at 8:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m., and 5:30 p.m., and the northbound high-speed trains will depart Washington's Union Station at 7 a.m., 9 a.m., and 5 p.m. each day.
Yes, the other hourly Metroliners will continue on their current schedules and with their current lists of stops. The fare for these 6 special high-speed runs will be $39 one way. If the train is late by more than 1.5 hour, a $5 refund will be paid. Conrail says the new high-speed trips are made possible by improvements to the rail bed on the Washington to New York route. Very interesting to see some really high-speed service come around. Like, well, I don't think we'll ever see the kind of speed that they're attaining in France now, do you?
Well, not on Long Island, because as soon as you attain that speed, you're at the end of the island.
That's true, but
so that wouldn't do us any good.
Say from New York to Washington.
Yeah, it's a possibility. New York to L.A., maybe.
Yeah. How
get you there as fast as a plane.
How long does it take to get from New York to Washington on these new guys?
Let's see what information we have here. I know it takes usually about 4 hours or so. It says it cuts about half an hour from the regular time. It doesn't really say what the regular time is, but both times I've gone down there, it took about... it does say they'll make the trip in only 3 hours. It took me about 4 hours the time I went down.
Yeah, so did you drive or take...
No, I took a train.
Uh-huh.
Actually, another time I took a car, and it was a little bit shorter.
Huh.
In any event, the New York State Attorney General, whose name is Robert Abrams, says a new series of distributing tickets will be implemented for the Rolling Stones New York City area concerts in an effort to minimize ticket scalping.
People who have written to request tickets will be selected randomly by an outside accounting firm, which has been selected by the Rolling Stones to ensure the widest distribution of tickets to the public.
Yeah, Abrams spokesman Tim Gills said names will, in effect, be pulled out of a hat. Those selected will then receive a voucher printed by the American Banknote Company. Gills said the vouchers will have special features, making it difficult to print counterfeit receipts. Customers will receive their concert tickets when they turn in the vouchers at Madison Square Garden and burn arena box offices and pay for the tickets. Gills said the tickets are being shuffled in pairs so that two tickets for good seats on one date will have a random chance of being near two tickets in a poorer location.
I see. The system is being implemented to make it difficult for insiders to isolate blocks of good seats and sell them at a profit to ticket brokers or friends. Gillis says the key to this whole thing is twofold. One, the selection of who receives tickets will be totally random, and two, the location of seats that each person gets will also be totally random. This method of distributing tickets was put into effect as the result of Abrams' investigation of how tickets were distributed for the Bruce Springsteen concert at the Byrne Arena this summer, and that's quite an appropriate word, burn.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people got that.
Abrams' investigation, which is continuing, revealed that selling tickets through box offices makes it possible for insiders to steer blocks of good tickets to brokers instead of the general public. Gill says that ticket selections are nearing completion, and the winning vouchers will be mailed out in the near future.
Madison Square Garden has received 1.3 million requests for the Stones' November 12th and 13th concert dates, where there are 33,350 seats available. This means that slightly less than 3 out of every 100 people requesting tickets will receive them, according to Gillis. He added that 700,000 ticket requests were received for the British rock group's 3 appearances at the Meadowlands Complex on November 5th, 6th, and 7th, and there are 50,350 seats designated for public use there, meaning 7 out of every 100 people will receive tickets.
Are you going to that?
I don't believe so. I haven't been invited by Mick yet. Uh-huh. I'm waiting still. You know, sometimes things come up, but so far I haven't heard anything.
Why don't we take a look at the USB Long Island weather?
The current temperature is
6
on the Celsius scale, and on the Fahrenheit scale that comes out to
43.
Rain will end later on this morning, a partial clearing, becoming windy, turning much, much, much colder with lows in the 40s by morning. Mostly sunny, windy, cold tomorrow, highs only in the 40s. Clear and cold tomorrow night, lows in the 30s. Oh, boy. Chance of rain decreasing to 20% later on in the morning. The outlook for Sunday, cloudy, cool, chance of rain in the afternoon, highs all the way back up into the 50s. I can't keep up with it. Can you, Mike?
No. Oh, hi, Frank.
WUSB, Stony Brook.
What's new, Frank?
He probably doesn't have anything else to say. You never know.
Just staring at you.
That's true. This is this blank stare on his face.
Frank, don't you have anything to say whatsoever?
WUSB, Stony Brook.
He's pretty literate, don't you
think? He gets into these moods now and then. He just sort of looks at you glossy-eyed through his glasses and just doesn't say anything.
But those are nice glasses he wears, don't you?
They certainly are. Try putting them on your eyes and you'll...
Well, let's not get him too angry. He'll start yelling at us.
WUSB, Stony Brook.
All right, why don't you close the door on him. Get him out of here. Come on, go ahead. Bye, Frank. Okay, now we have our 2 o'clock album side.
Yes. Yes, we do. I think Frank's still on the other side of the door trying to get in.
WUSB.
Get him out of here?
Okay. Bye, Frank.
Okay.
Why doesn't he let Bob Zeiser in? He's been waiting out there to come in for the last 10 minutes. Oh, by the way, it is 9 minutes past 2, and that was the news, and we have Bob Dylan.
On WUSB Stony Brook.
What he just said about 6 times.
Oh, is that what he was saying? I wasn't listening.
Yeah.
This album
is called The Times They Are A-Changing.
And it's not something to cheer you up, but I think it's something really nice to hear on a rainy, rainy Saturday morning.
I couldn't agree with you more.
209, you know?
Yeah.
What are some of the songs we're going to be hearing?
Only really upon in their game, boots of Spanish leather, when the ship comes in, the lonesome death of Hattie Carroll, and Restless Farewell.
Good stuff. Enjoy. Bob Dylan.
Without any further ado, Bob Dylan.
A bullet from the back of the bush took Medgar Evers' blood. A finger fired the trigger to his name. A handle hit out in the dark. A hand set the spark. Two eyes took the aim behind a man's brain. But he can't be blamed. He's only a pawn in their game. The South politician preaches to the poor white man. You got more than the blacks, don't complain. You're better than them, you've been born with white skin, they explain. And the Negro's name is used, it is plain, for the politician's gain. As he rises to fame, and the poor white remains on the caboose of the train. But it ain't him to blame, he's only a pawn in their game. The deputy sheriffs, the soldiers, the governors get paid. And the marshals and cops get the same. But the poor white man's used in the hands of them all like a tool. He's taught in his school from the start by the rule that the laws are with him to protect his white skin, to keep up his heat, so he never thinks straight about the shape that he's in. But it ain't him to blame. He's only a pawn in their game. From the poverty shacks, he looks from the cracks to the tracks. And the hoofbeats pound in his brain. And he's taught how to walk in a pack, shoot in the back with his fist in a clinch. To hang and to lynch, to hide neath the hood, to kill with no pain, like a dog on a chain. He ain't got no name, but it ain't him to blame. He's only a pawn in their game. Today Medgar Evers was buried from the bullet he caught. They're lowering him down as a king. But when the shadowy sun sets on the one that fired the gun, he'll see by his grave on the stone that remains, carved next to his name, his epitaph plain. Only a pawn in their game.
Oh, I'm sailing away, my own true love. I'm sailing away in the morning. Here's something I can send you from across the sea. From the place that I've been landing. No, there's nothing you can send me, my own true love. There's nothing I'm wishing to be owning. Just to carry yourself back to me unspoiled. From across that lonesome ocean. Ah, but I just thought you might want something fine. Made of silver or of golden. Either from the mountains of Madrid
far from the coast of Barcelona. If I had the stars of the darkest night and the diamonds from the deepest ocean, I'd forsake them all for your sweet kiss. For that's all I'm wishing to be owning. But I might be gone in a long old time, and it's only that I'm asking. Here's something I can send you to remember me by, to make your time more easy passing. Oh, how can you ask me again? It only brings me sorrow. The same thing I would want today, I would want again tomorrow. Oh, I got a letter on a lonesome day. It was from her ship, a sailing, saying I don't know when I'll be coming back again. It depends on how I'm feeling. If you, my love, must think that away, I'm sure your mind is a roaming. I'm sure your thoughts are not with me, but with the country to where you're going. So take heed of the western winds. Take heed of the stormy weather. And yes, there's something you can send back to me. Spanish boots are Spanish leather. The time will come up when the winds will stop and the breeze will cease to be breathing, like the stillness in the wind before the hurricane begins. The hour that the ship comes in and the sea will split and the ships will hit and the sands on the shoreline will be shaking and the tide will sound and the waves will pound. And the morning will be a breaking. The fishes will laugh as they swim out of the path, and the seagulls will be smiling, and the rocks on the sand will proudly stand the hour that the ship comes in. And the words that are used for to get the ship confused will not be understood as the spoken, for the chains of the sea will have busted in the night and be buried out the bottom of the ocean. This song will lift as the mainsail shifts and the boat drifts onto the shoreline, and the sun will respect every face on the deck the hour that the ship comes in. And the sands will roll out a carpet of gold for your weary toes
to be a touching. And the ship's wise men will remind you once again that the whole wide world is watching. In their eyes, and they'll jerk from their beds and think they're dreaming, but they'll pinch themselves and squeal, and they'll know that it's for real. The hour that the ship comes in, and they'll raise their hands, say, we'll meet all your demands, but real sharp from the bow, your days are numbered, and like Pharaoh's tribe, they'll be drowned in the tide, and like Goliath, they'll be for Hattie Carroll, with a cane that he twirled around his diamond ring fingers, and a Baltimore hotel society gathering, and the cops were called in, and his weapon took from him as they rode him in custody down to the station, and booked Williams and Zinger for first degree murder. Are you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fear? Take the rag away from your face. Now ain't the time for your tears. Williams and Zinger, who had 24 years, owns a tobacco farm of 600 acres with rich, wealthy parents who provide and protect him, and high office relations in the politics of Maryland reacted to his deeds with a shrug of his shoulders and swear words and sneering, and his tongue it was a snarling, and in a matter of minutes on bail was out walking. But you who philosophize history and criticize fear, take the rag away from your feet. Now ain't the time for your tears. Hattie Carroll was a maid in the kitchen. She was 51 years old and gave birth to 10 children, who carried the dishes and took out the garbage, and never sat once at the head of the table, and didn't even talk to the people at the table, who just cleaned up all the food from the table and emptied the ashtrays on a whole other level. Got killed by a blow, lay slain by a cane that sailed through the air and came down through the room, doomed and determined to destroy all the gentle. And she never done nothing to Williams and Zinger. And you who philosophize disgrace and criticize all fears, take the rag away from your feet. Now ain't the time for your tears.
In the courtroom of honor, the judge pounded his gavel to show that all's equal and that the courts are on the level and that the strings in the book ain't pulled and persuaded and that even the nobles get properly handled once that the cops have chased after and caught them and that the ladder of law has no top and no bottom. Stared at the person who killed for no reason, who just happened to be feeling that way without warning. And he spoke through his cloak most deep and distinguished and handed out strongly for penalty and repentance. Williams and Zenger with a 6-month sentence. Classifies disgrace and criticize our fears. Bear the rain deep in your face, for now's the time for your tears. Be it mine, right or wrong, for it I let it slip gladly to my friends to tie up the time most forcefully. But the bottles are done, we've killed each one, and the table's full and overflowed. And the corner sign says it's closing time, so I'll bid farewell and be down the road. Did not do it harmfully, and every girl that ever I've hurt, I did not do it knowingly. But to remain as friends, you need the time to make amends and stay behind. And since my feet are now fast and point away from the past, I'll bid farewell and be down the line. Oh, every foe that ever I faced, the cause was there before we came, and every cause that ever I fought it full without regret or shame. But the dark does die as the curtain is drawn and somebody's eyes must meet the dawn. And if I see the day, I'd only have to stay, so I'll bid farewell in the night and be gone.
Oh, every thought that strung a knot in my mind. I might go insane if it couldn't be sprung. But it's not to stand naked under unknowing eyes. It's for myself and my friends, my stories I sung. But the time ain't tall. If on time you depend, and the word is possessed by no special friend. And though the line is cut, it ain't quite the end. I just bid farewell till we meet again. Oh, a false clock tries to tick out my time. To disgrace, distract, and bother me. And the dirt of gossip blows into my face. And the dust of rumors covers me. But if the arrow is straight and the point is slick, it can pierce through dust no matter how thick. So I'll make my stand and remain as I am and bid farewell and not give a damn.
Restless Farewell from Bob Dylan, an album called The Times They Are A-Changin'. And we heard before that The Lonesome Death of Hattie Carroll, When the Ship Comes In, Boots of Spanish Leather, and we started with Only a Pawn in Their Game. The album was produced by Tom Wilson, and the year on it is 1964. Perfect songs to be out in the car right now, driving around in the rain. And I envy anyone who's out there, and I guess that includes Mike Juhas, who's gone to get the USB midnight snack, or I should say the 2:34 in the morning snack. We have 5 degrees in Celsius in Stony Brook, 41 on the Fahrenheit scale, and still raining. No end in sight. It's going to get a lot colder tomorrow. I tell you, these Bob Dylan songs really do something to you. And this whole album is... I guess you could call it depressing, but there are times when you need to hear depressing music. I don't know why. Even if you're not depressed, you just need to see what the other half is like. In any event, we have something else interesting coming up. Before we get into that, though, I'd just like to say to the folks out there, at the beginning of the program, we asked you to call in your spooky places in order that we may have a list for Halloween next week. Now, we haven't gotten an overwhelming response, and I know there are a lot of places out on Long Island that are terrifying and are very scary, abandoned warehouses, old, decrepit, colonial-style mansions, woods that have legends. And Mike Juhas is back. Hi, Mike. All sorts of things like that, and they're out there. Long Island has them all.
Where?
Everywhere. All right, I'll give you an example. Orient Point. You ever go out to Orient Point?
No.
You should.
Okay.
There's a big, huge hotel there that I don't know when the last time it was occupied, but it's just sitting there right off Route 25A.
Uh-huh.
And a big hotel.
25?
I'm sorry, 25.
Yeah.
Just testing, Mike.
Okay.
It's so huge, it's so old, and in fact it says, the faded sign says, rooms, $5.
Ooh.
That tells you how old it is.
And sounds spooky to me.
There's got to be something behind that. Montauk Point, okay, Montauk Point, you know that big building in the middle of town that no one's lived in for God knows how long?
Right.
Imagine spending a night in that building.
Sure.
By yourself.
Why not?
No flashlight.
So?
Thunderstorm.
My favorite time of the year.
Earthquake winds.
Sure.
We didn't talk about the earthquake.
You didn't say anything about ghosts, though.
Oh, well, that's in your imagination. You got to bring those out yourself. Oh. But then again, they could be there. There are other places on Long Island that are scary, scarier. We want to know about them. We want to hear about them now. We want you to call us up at
246-7901,
area code 516. And we are, of course, WUSB in
Stony Brook.
We want to share this information with everybody out there, and hopefully by next week at this time, we'll have a concise listing, and of course that'll be Halloween, and people can, maybe get some spooks together, you know, that type of thing.
Or something.
Something like that. So how was your trip out there, Mike? What's going on in the world?
It's raining.
It is raining.
It's
raining.
Rather wet, I guess. That
yes.
Means.
I know last week I saw the car flip over.
Well, apparently this place I went to, they not only can you go in and pick stuff up, but they actually deliver stuff. And one of their drivers had crashed.
Oh, really?
Not serious, though.
Hmm. It's too bad. It's very slippery out there, folks. Be careful if you are in a moving vehicle. Even if you're walking on the street, be careful. It can be kind of slippery. We're going to go into some traditional southern instrumental... excuse me. Let's try that again. Traditional southern instrumental styles. I have trouble with these compound words sometimes.
Listen, I'll let you talk about this, and I'll go answer the phones.
Why don't you just go answer the phones?
Okay.
This is from an album called... They didn't have to knock down the whole console.
It's a good thing it wasn't turned off.
Oh, boy. What a crazy place. That's My Rabbit, My Dog Caught It is the name of the album. It's also the name of the song, and it's performed by the Walter family. That's Draper Walter on fiddle, jug, piano, guitar, and washboard. And take it away, Walter family. Yeah. Thank you. Peralta family on USBFM, the voice of Long Island. We're Draper Walter, and that's my rabbit. My dog caught it. Okay, we had some calls, one of which has to do with on campus, which is kind of interesting. An old, as I understand it, abandoned cafeteria called Roth Cafeteria here on campus is supposedly a scary place to hang out. I understand there are a couple of other abandoned cafeterias here on campus, some abandoned other things. The abandoned ones are always the scariest ones to hang out in, but still, sometimes the most crowded places in the world can be the scariest places to hang out in, such as a mall or something, or the middle of a city. If you view it from a different perspective, if you see all the people as being robots or evil or something bizarre, it can be very scary no matter where you are. In any event, we want to hear more scary places on Long Island in honor of Halloween next week. Our number, area code 516-246-7901. Give us a call. We'll mention your place if you come up with a good one. Right now we have some more recorded anthology stuff, Types and Stereotypes in American Musical Theater, 1870 to 1900. Hang the Mulligan Banner Up, Max Marath, tenor, Dick Hyman, piano and conductor, a quartet of Lois Winter Soprano, Rosemarie June on alto, Phil Olson, tenor, Charles Magruder on bass. And Hang the Mulligan Banner Up, written by David Brom and Edward Harrigan.
Dan Mulligan, the calming man, so stalwart, bold, and strong. He's always in the cause of right and never in the wrong. He wants you for constituents, the wise man and the black. And should you want a fever, boys, he'll never turn his back.
Then hang the Mulligan banner up so boldly to the wind. Now give it room, the Mulligan boot, we're leaving Dutch behind. All Africans like Italians and Scandinavians, come rally round your leader, boys. Bold Daniel Mulligan.
For energy and constancy, he's a liberal-minded man. Old Caesar never had the pluck of Daniel Mulligan. Sure, had he lived in ancient Rome, all history would have cried that our Hibernian Caesar, boys, with honor as he died.
Then hang the Mulligan banner up so boldly to the wind. Now give it room, the Mulligan book, we'll leave the Dutch behind. All Africans like Italians and Scandinavians, come rally round your leader, boys. Bold Daniel Mulligan.
Then concentrate each delegate, oh rally, rally all. With might and main, or once again, we'll take the city hall. When in the aldermanic chair, old Daniel takes his seat, we'll capture all the patronage and lations for to eat.
Then hang the Mulligan banner up so boldly to the wind. Now give it room, the Mulligan book, we'll leave the Dutch behind. All Africans, Italians, and Scandinavians, come rally round your leader, boys. Bold Daniel Mulligan.
There's all the different styles of music going around today. It would be kind of nice to see reversion to that style, sort of in the new wave image. Types and Stereotypes in American Musical Theater from the years 1870 to 1900. Hang the Mulligan Banner Up. Yeah, David Brum and Edward Harrigan wrote that tune way back, way back. Wow, how far back that is. We have a Voice of Long Island encore now. Several months ago, probably the show wasn't even named The Voice of Long Island back then, we did something crazy to a certain club. They're called the PTL Club. We changed them around, and we sort of made what is known in reggae terms as a dub version. So without further ado, the PTL Club Dub. I'm on a like your dog boys and I for this already. Hola.
These USB theme songs gonna end?
There's so many of them.
There sure are.
Where's the one we just heard before?
The Ando Nueva theme.
And when can that be heard?
Tomorrow night. Well, today. This afternoon.
At 3:30.
Right
salsa.
After.
Right after Lister. Salsa music, just like we were talking to Ed about down in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Do you play salsa, he asked. Of course we play salsa.
This is a good theme, too.
The Blues Show
theme. Which you can hear with Mike Bifocal.
Tuesday nights.
At 7. And then, you know who comes on? This is a strange guy. I think he's some kind of transient. He just comes walking in. I don't think he has any roots in the community. He comes in and does 9 to 12 on Tuesdays.
9:05 to 12.
Yeah, well, who does the 9 to 9:05?
That's Joanne Summer with the Concert Billboard.
Oh, of course, of course.
Of course, Concert Billboard is heard every weekday, 4:30 and 9, and on weekends, like today, at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very nice of her. She trucks all the way out from the city to do that.
Oh, yeah. She's very dedicated. She'd come all the way out from Los Angeles if she had to.
Well, either that or do it by phone.
Well, that would be interesting.
AT&T short lines, or long lines, or whatever you want to call
it. Make it sound more immediate.
Yeah. Yeah, that would do it.
We've got all sorts of other special things throughout the broadcast week here at USB. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Always something different going on here.
Yeah. So just keep tuned. All sorts of good things are going to happen this weekend.
A radio-free weekend.
Of course. Just like every weekend.
You know what Walt Squetch is doing this Sunday afternoon?
Yes.
A tribute to astronauts.
And space.
Space. All sorts of things like that.
Yeah.
We're having interviews and all sorts of spacey music, so you want to tune in for that.
That's Sunday from 2 to 5.
In the afternoon.
On 90.1
Walt Squetch
FM.
Walt Squetch FM, okay. That's an interesting concept.
Yes. Walt Squetch AM. That's his other brother. Well?
Well, well, well.
You're not a well man.
You're Mike Juhas, and I'm Eric Corley. We've been with you since midnight with the voice of Long Island.
Yep.
The voice will again speak next week. We don't know what it's going to say.
Yes. We're going to probably have some kind of interesting guest of some sort with some interesting concepts. And maybe call you at random. Who knows?
That's true.
So send us your phone number so we can put it in our drawer. You know?
Everybody's interesting to some extent.
Yeah. Some more than others.
Yeah.
Me less than anybody or something like that.
I think that hits it right about on the nose.
Yeah.
I think the theme's over. It ended.
Well, then you know what that means.
That means it's time to say, what is it, Saturday morning, Friday night, what?
Yeah, something like that. Eric, it's been a real pleasure and a privilege, and we'll be back next week.
Okay, I'll see you then.
Right.
Take care.
Right on its floor, buy a drink and call a check.